Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Door locked. Good morning, or whatever time of day it is where you live. This is Roland. Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner, episode number 32. Let me go ahead and get our watch, see if we can get it syncing, and get the light on so I can get it where I need it to be. It is December the 22nd, Tuesday morning. It's about 20 minutes to 6. It is dark and snow covers the ground. It's melted quite a bit, but we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Today's supposed to be sunny with a high about 48 degrees. And tonight it's going to be back down into the mid-20s. We have been, for us, what would be definitely considered a cold spell. And we're out on this Tuesday morning for a very, very early, Lord willing, about an 8 mile run, thereabouts. And it's good to have you along, but before we get moving, I thought in order to keep with the Christmas spirit that we would get going with some motivational Christmas music. Hope you enjoy this. Got a saying taped on my cabinet at the office, and while I can't quote it word for word, I can get pretty close. It says, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and it knows that it must be faster than the fastest lion in order to survive. And every morning in Africa, A lion wakes up. And the lion knows that it must be faster than the slowest gazelle if it is going to survive. So when the sun comes up, whether you're a lion or a gazelle, you best be running. I like that. Not just because it's apropos, I'm out here in the pitch dark and being the streetlights and black ice, which we'll talk about later in a few minutes, but it's a good analogy or good lesson for life. It's good to have you along with me today. As I said earlier, I believe it's about, well, I know it's 27 degrees, and looking forward to getting up to getting into this run. We're now in week 2. Depending on how you look at it, I guess it could be week 3 probably of the marathon training, because my weeks don't run always Saturday to Friday or Monday to Sunday, or they generally run from the weekend through, from the beginning of the week through the weekend, but I don't hold that fast and true. Although on Buckeye Outdoors, the week always starts on a Sunday. That's why sometimes it bothers me a bit whenever I, some weeks where I missed the Sunday run, but I did run on like Tuesday and a Thursday, and then the following Sunday. So in a 7-week period, I've run 3 runs, but Buckeye will only show that I've run 2. However, same token, some weeks it will show that I've run 4 times, because from on Saturday, it'll kick in on a Sunday as well. And anyhow, so much for that. We are in week 2, I think week 3, officially just getting into week 3 of the marathon training. This is the, well, 4 days till Christmas. 3 days till Christmas. And do you remember last episode we talked about the resolve it would take to get the runs in? We're definitely there as far as testing it. I didn't mean to imply I was there as far as I have it. I feel like I have it. You can actually see black ice in here or something. There's always water at that spot. Now I'm running through a darker area, although I can see the street lights, but there's not one right here. So I think I'll move toward the middle of the street and make sure I avoid areas along the edge that tend to be the most wet. I wanted to give you a little more detail on my thoughts about training for the marathon. I'm not sure if I told you last week what that would involve, but don't believe I did. At least if I did, I'll give you a little more detail what my thoughts are. I don't really have a document for this. I printed this out. Let me retract that. I printed out a document that some of this is based on 6 months ago from the North Carolina Marathon website. Printed it out, stuck it in my calendar for future reference. And this past week, I took and wrote down between now and the marathon, while the days aren't exactly right. For instance, will I run long run on Friday or Saturday? Sometimes even a Sunday. I've got that weekend, this is the long run, and I've got the other elements written in each week as well. So as I open my calendar each Monday, it will tell me the workouts that are planned, whether they're on that particular day or not. But anyway, based on that document, which I've gone back and to their website, and evidently they've removed it, I went on the web and looked for other sites where it could be hiding and couldn't find it. So, but I did get it printed out, and then I typed it up with the adjustments I made. And I just wanted to share with you what my training plans are, and I invite your feedback on that. Go to the blog and email me, because I know many of you have run a marathon. Many of you, perhaps more than one. This is my first one. I definitely need your help. Anything I mention here that you think, no, Roland, really, you ought to tweak that, or no, Roland, you really ought to think about changing this, or something I'm not including, send me a quick email. Say, this is what I did, and this worked for me, and you might want to consider it. So that being said, let me share with you just a couple minutes what my plans are. From time to time, until I get back out to the highway, you're going to hear me slow down, because I'm running over spots that are wet, and as my foot catches the edge of it, let me tell you, that ice is solid, so we are in somewhat slippery conditions. I don't want to be like Steve Runner said several months back. That was before cold weather, but people were podcasting, and different people, he mentioned a couple, and not paying attention to what they were doing with their feet. Maybe manipulating the recorder, I don't know. But anyway, they fell while they were running, and you could hear it in the episode. That is not my plan. But I will promise you this, if I fall, I'll let you receive the benefit of hearing that. Just pray that I don't break a leg at this point or sprain an ankle, but it's 95% clear. But there are spots off the main road that I need to be careful of. And wherever you're running, you probably can identify. This was actually recorded the week of the major East Coast storm. And we got a little bit of that here in central North Carolina as well. But the elements of the marathon, one of the things that I'm planning to do is the 45-minute cross training once a week. Now for me, unless something changes, and which I don't foresee that happening, I'll be riding a stationary bike, and that will be once a week. That's what the program calls for. Another element which I really have come to enjoy, especially as I train for the half, is intervals. Now, I right now am planning to run 2-minute intervals with 2 minutes of rest, building up to 10 before the race. And so we're on the way with that. And I enjoy that. And those intervals will run. I don't pay a lot of attention to the time on my watch, but I pay attention more to how I feel. And I know from experience that I'm generally running probably a little better than 5K pace on those, which for me, that just, for the half, that really worked. For the marathon, I may need to do longer ones, and I'm open to that as well. We'll see how we feel. As we get more into it, I may throw in a 3 or 4 minute interval, a couple of those, after we get up to, I don't know, 6-8, something like that. May extend a couple of those out. But my watch, I can set it for intervals, and that's very, very helpful. So we will be doing, Lord willing, the intervals. Also, with the intervals, I will be intermixing 1 week doing intervals, following week doing a tempo run, where I'll warm up for 20 to 30 minutes, maybe even 40 minutes, and then work up to 30 minutes of tempo running. For me, that's not as hard as fast as the intervals, but it's probably 5K pace, pretty close to it. And I'll build up, Lord willing, to that, being a total of 30 minutes before we begin the taper in just a few weeks before the marathon, like 3 weeks. Of course, another element that I've got to have, and you can identify with, is the long run. The material that I have, and I know that this is not a, it's really not a cookie cutter approach. It's what I feel like I can do. And when you're training for any race, really that's what we need to do, is use the approach that works for us individually. And time and experience with using training programs helps us to do that. I know for the half, caught for a long run of 13 miles, and I went 17 just because I felt like I was capable of that. And for me personally, 17 miles, I believe that helped me in that race. I ran 15, I know, once leading up to it. But again, 13 was supposed to be the limit, race limit. Well, for the marathon, the long run for this program is one 20 miler, no 18s, several 16s. I guess the idea is if you build up that you can run 20 miles comfortably, then you're good to go. But I also know from other programs that going a bit further is beneficial. So I'm planning, and I've got this written out, and hopefully can follow it more or less. Got to be open to interruptions. That's part of life, as we've spoken about. But the plan is to build up to 22 miles for the long run period of the training. And so that's what we're hopefully going to be doing. Also, I will be tapering 3 weeks before the actual marathon date. A full 3 weeks out will be the I'm out of shopping center and there's definitely ice. 3 weeks out we will taper and begin to scale back on the long run. I think it drops to 14 if I'm not mistaken. And then maybe 8 or 9 week before the race. Something like that. And also the intervals will be cut down as well. We'll go from a high of 10 down to like 6 and then maybe 4 if there's 2 interval sessions. I think one of them is tempo run. Anyway, before the marathon, we'll cut back the long run, cut back the number of intervals. And I think it's calling for a tempo run the week of the marathon. I'll probably run a slower 10-minute, 11-minute tempo run just to keep legs fresh. And then 2 days before the marathon, we'll not run at all. Complete rest from exercise. And also, I do not plan to ride the bike the week of the race either. I found from the half, you probably know it true as well, it's absolutely critical that rest be a part of this process. Yes, I'm not stupid. I know you got to put in the miles and speed work is exceptionally helpful, cross training, all that, but it's necessary to taper and to rest as well. And as you know me, I will be doing that. I'm still planning to run just 3 days a week, and I think we can run a decent marathon on the 3 day a week training, unless something throws a monkey wrench in the whole process. And if it does, I won't freak out. We'll pick up where we left off, hopefully, and get going. One of the things, though, that I was thinking about relative to it, to training and the race itself, is what am I going to do for the supplements, so to speak? You know, gels, whatever. And at this point, I've been reading some about potassium and sodium, things like that. Probably the two most key electrolytes that are needed and that can be ultimately lost during heavy training. And so at the race, they actually serve chocolate-covered peanut, well, chocolate, obviously, peanut M&Ms along with goo packs. Then I got to thinking about that. Why do they do that? Is it for the sugar? Well, perhaps. Cutting through a different area here just a little bit, because I can see a sheet of ice on the parking lot. But I think maybe it has to do with potassium, perhaps, which are found in all kinds of nuts. And so what I'm planning to do is to begin eating some salted almonds, which I love almonds. Really, really good. Really, really good for you. Running through what's left of some hard stuff. But I'm planning to begin eating on the longer runs when we get up to maybe 14, 16 salted almonds. I'm not going to eat a ton of them, but I'm thinking maybe once an hour, eat a dozen. They have a lot of potassium and sodium, and those things are also found in the extreme bean jelly beans, which I plan to use. So right now I'm planning to experiment once again with the extreme beans, and this time I do want to incorporate the potassium boosting and sodium boosting almonds. Again, I don't believe I need a whole lot of those, but I think we're going to nibble on those as we go as well. We'll try it out during the race and see, the training runs rather, and see how it goes. But I did a little bit of research on potassium, and I want to share with you what I learned on that. And the sources that are used for the information that I'm going to share now on potassium, those sources are cited at the blog. So you can go to the blog, click on the links, and you can read the entire article, each article that I cited.
Potassium and sodium are antagonistic, which means that an imbalance of one will automatically cause an imbalance of the other. Normally, potassium should predominate inside the cell. Potassium is necessary for normal cell respiration. A deficiency can cause decreased levels of oxygen, which will reduce the efficiency of cell function. Adequate supplies of potassium are also required to regulate heartbeat, facilitate normal muscle contraction, regulate the transfer of nutrients to cells, and regulate kidney function and stomach juice secretion, among other things. In the past, potassium was more plentiful in the diet than salt, but gradually the situation has been reversed. The widespread lack of potassium in modern diets is largely due to modern processing and high levels of salt added to most processed foods. Cooking and processing destroy potassium, and added salt further robs the body of vital potassium. This departure from traditional cooking of fresh homegrown fruit and vegetables is likely the cause of many health problems faced by modern society. No recommended daily allowance has been officially established for potassium, but practitioners recommend that the optimal daily intake should be in the region of 3,500 milligrams. The average daily intake is about 2,500 milligrams. However, in general, nutritionists recommend reducing salt intake and ensuring adequate supply by increasing the amount of fresh fruit and vegetables in the diet. There's a great variety of natural foods that are an excellent source of potassium, and they include things like avocados, bananas, chard, citrus fruits, juices such as grapefruit, tomato, and orange, dried lentils, green leafy vegetables, milk, molasses, nuts such as almonds, Brazils, cashews, peanuts, pecans, and walnuts, and parsnips. Dr. Gabe Merkin, whom I've quoted before, says the kidneys and sweat glands conserve potassium so effectively in response to low body levels, potassium deficiency rarely occurs in healthy athletes. Even with prolonged exercise in very hot weather, potassium needs can be met by eating a normal diet because potassium is found in virtually all foods except refined sugar. On the other hand, potassium deficiency can be caused by drugs such as diuretics and corticosteroids. It can also be caused by diarrhea or repeated vomiting. With diarrhea, potassium is lost in the stool. With vomiting, potassium is lost in the urine. In both athletes and non-athletes, the most common cause of low potassium blood levels and high potassium urine levels is vomiting. J. Anderson and L. Young and E. Long stated the following. Athletes also may need more potassium to replace that loss from muscle during exercise and the smaller amount lost in sweat. Low potassium can cause muscle cramping and cardiovascular irregularities. Eating foods high in potassium can prevent these symptoms. One cup of orange juice, a banana, or a potato is sufficient to replace the potassium lost during 1 to 2 hours of hard exercise. Sports drinks are poor sources of potassium. So, it means that I'm going to eat a minimum of almonds for the potassium and the sodium, but I will try them on several long runs before I determine the benefit that I get or the lack of benefit that I may seem to get. And I will certainly let you know how that goes. I believe it's inconclusive, but it sounds like if we eat a good diet with a lot of fresh nuts, vegetables, things like that, we can probably get all the potassium that we need. But we're going to be taking in the potassium by way of the almonds anyway, and we will let you know how that goes.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
oh, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 major milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
4 birds, 3 hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. All right, catch your breath. It's funky time. And 5 golden rings.
5 golden rings.
And 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves. And a partridge in a pear tree. Christmas time. I love it. And now the 10th day is upon us. We got 2 more to go. Take a deep breath.
5 golden rings.
4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
La 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 la.
11 pipers, 5 and 10 horns, a leap and 9 ladies dancing. 8 maids a-maiden, 7 swans swimming, 6 geese a-laying.
5 rings that happen to be gold.
2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
Partridge in a pear tree.
continuing with what I'm planning to do for the marathon, and again, I certainly invite your comments and insights. Many, many of you are a lot more experienced at that than I am. But I also plan to pick up the core training that I had been doing leading up to the half. And I know the marathon is not the half, I know that, but for me, it's really the only thing I have to compare it to. Maybe you run a marathon and you're saying, Roland, you can't. It's apples and oranges. Well, maybe it is, but it's the best I can do, so bear with me. My naivete may be my downfall, but I don't think so. We'll be ready, unless I get injured, which, Lord willing, we won't. Which leads me to the point I was trying to make. I do want to beef up the core body exercises. Right now, I do 50 butterfly sit-ups every time I go running. When I get back, as I stretch, that's a part of my routine. Been doing that, and my abs are somewhat firm. I have a six-pack that looks like the cans are leaking a little bit, maybe. But there's a little bit of definition there in the abdomen area, which is what I want. But there are other core exercises that I want to incorporate, which helped me with the half, and I think will help me with this coming up. That's the push-ups. I haven't been doing a lot of push-ups lately, but I do plan to. Ooh, I smell a possum. Have you ever smelled a possum? A polecat? We have them in North Carolina, and the smell is very distinctive. And on a cold, crisp morning such as this, that scent can carry. I just entered a small development, and halfway up the street it hit me. I don't know if he's behind somebody's house or what. But anyway, my mind's wandering a little bit today. Forgive me. But anyway, getting back to the core, I want to do 40 push-ups, build up to these things. 40 push-ups, take the exercise ball, and do the shin strengthening exercises where I sit on it, put my hand across my knees, go up and down on my toes, build up to 30 or 40 of those, and then take the ball, lean on it against the wall, and do squats for the thighs. Do 30 or 40 of those, and then just work up to 50 regular push-ups or sit-ups, excuse me. So that means I'll do the 50 butterflies, 50 crunches actually, instead of sit-ups, 40 push-ups, thigh exercise with the exercise ball, and the shin exercise with the exercise ball. I did that before, and I think that really helps to strengthen the abs and core muscles, and I don't think the arms are really a problem either. Certainly helps those. I may run a 5K or better yet a 10K toward the end of January or into February if I can find one. There's a trail race near here. Uwari Mountains, which are some of the oldest mountains in North America, are right here in central North Carolina. The Uwaris have a trail race, but the way that it's advertised is that it's very demanding and what you would expect. Lots of routes and stuff like that. Well, they have I think it's 10K. It's in the time frame I just mentioned, but I would love to do that, but there's no way I'm going to do that training for a marathon. Last thing I need is to slip on a route and bust a knee. So I've looked around the net and on the web, and I can't find any suitable races during the time that I need them that are close enough that it's not a strain to get there and run. So we'll keep looking, but I would love to include that as part of the pre-marathon prep, getting ready, so that helps you gauge your fitness, and also it just helps you in general. It's a good speed workout, obviously. Alright, what did we do last week? Ran a pretty good clip, 6-miler. Because the day I ran that early in the week, it was really all the time I had. And then later in the week ran 8 miles closer to normal speed. The 6 miler was just under 9 minutes a mile. And then I ran 10 this past week on the weekend. So that gave me just over 24 miles for the week. I also ran the bike 45 minutes midweek. I ran 4 intervals, so I'm already beginning to build for that. And this week we're planning to run the tempo run. Again, we alternate those back and forth each week. So that was what my week looked like. This week we're planning everything I just mentioned, with the exception of the mileage, should be up closer to 28. Tempo instead of interval. Everything else pretty much the same. And that's what the plan calls for. Actually, I'm just a wee bit ahead of schedule on the distance. And that's okay. That's not going to hurt me. So that's what we did last week. That's where I need to be. Recent weather caused a problem. I was going to record for this show, or I did record, 3 days ago. And it was the day after the storm had come through. We got some good snow for us. 5 inches. It's beautiful. I took pictures of some birds in the crabapple tree in my front yard. And a picture of the front of our house at night. When I snapped it, the snowflakes in the picture, when I looked at them, looked like little white globes. It's pretty cool. I will post those on the blog. And you can check that out. But I recorded for the show and laid everything down, but wore a toboggan that day. And the toboggan, the way I had the mic on, when I got home and started working on the editing a day or two later, there was a swishing noise. It was very obnoxious sounding. And I tried to edit that out. And couldn't really get it to the point where I was satisfied with it. And I do want you to enjoy listening, hopefully to the content, but just as much quality. I know that, you know, I'm not doing this in a studio, but certainly we can make it where it's enjoyable to listen to. And that was not the case. So I recorded, and finally after an hour working on it, I said, forget this. I deleted it. And that's why I'm recording now. That was actually a 10-mile run that I did over the weekend, which today is not that far, but that's what happened. But it was because of the weather and having used the toboggan and not knowing exactly how to handle the mic. But I was running through the snow, and there were four-wheelers through our neighborhood, kids riding without helmets, which is really, really stupid. But there's a lot of that noise. Got my feet wet. Had to get off the shoulder of the road, or on the shoulder, several times, and the snow was wet. And sometimes just stepped in pure water, which, you know, had a neighbor when I got back was shoveling snow, and I said, looks like a hard job, and she said, yeah, but at least I'm dressed for it. I was walking at that point back to the house, and I said, well, I'm dressed for it. I have shorts just like I do today. I said, as long as I keep moving, I'm comfortable, which is true. But she can't understand that, I know. But as a fellow runner, those of you who run that listen, which are most of you, evidently, you can identify with that. That's why we get out in 27-degree weather with shorts on. Because it takes that mentality. If you're going to maintain your fitness and keep going, and as I've said, I can't take any shortcuts training for the marathon. Short of an injury or just a situation beyond my control, I've got to get out. And I tend to be 90% of the time an early morning runner. So the toboggan didn't work. So I go to Dick's yesterday. Had to run and see someone in the hospital. Lady died of cancer. 58 years old. Her son just graduated from Carolina Friday. Her other son's married with a couple kids, but her husband and their dad died about a year ago. I did his funeral. He had cancer. It's just so sad. Cancer is absolutely rampant. I know part of it is that we now know the early treatment, early diagnostics, I should say, help us to know more about the cancers that are lurking in our bodies earlier. But it just seems rampant that people have cancer. And I know cancer could get me. Running, I think, is good insurance, but it is no guarantee, and I know that. But anyway, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods, bought a headband that covers your ears real good, and it's that real light material, covers my ears, and I can wear it under my hat. So I'm actually wearing that today with the marathon hat from the North Carolina Marathon last year, so that I can wear the mic on the bill of my cap like I've been doing, because I don't want to have to record it again. But it's funny that after I got to back to the office, I had an email from my sister Carol, and it was something about Dick's Sporting Goods being the most non or anti-Christmas store in a survey and in a study that was done by Blue Wizard, whatever that is, I'm not sure. The most anti-Christmas company. And it said that you won't find Merry Christmas in their flyers. You won't find it on their web. You won't hear it on their announcements on the radio or television. And so I emailed my sister back and I said, gee, thanks, Carol. I literally just bought, out of necessity, a headband from Dick's Sporting Goods in Winston-Salem. It's pretty funny. I mean, I had the thing in my coat pocket right there, and I get this email from her. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't get all worked up all over that, although I see the point, but there's more important things, I think, for us to debate right now than whether I say Merry Christmas, although I will say Merry Christmas. And being a Christian, this holiday is about the birth of Christ. It's not just a holiday of giving. It's a holiday where God literally gave himself for you and for me. And you know from listening previously, that's where I stand and that's what I accept. So, for my persuasion, I say a big Merry Christmas to you. If you're Jewish, I don't have a problem with Happy Hanukkah. But I'd rather say Merry Christmas than Happy Holidays. So I understand that, but I'm not going to beat a horse. By the way, people get all upset about the X and Christmas. Well, you know the Greek letter that Christ, Christos, begins with looks like an X. And is it Chi? It's been so long since I took Greek classes. I think it's Chi. C-H-I, but I could be wrong, but I know that it's the X, looks like an X, but it doesn't sound like one. They would use that as an abbreviation for Christ for non-Christians, excuse me, where non-Christians initially couldn't identify what the X meant. It was the first letter of Christos. And so when you see Merry Xmas, while today it doesn't mean what it did back then, it actually, at one time, could be used as an abbreviation for Christmas. I don't necessarily think it's people wanting to take the Christ out of Christmas. While I don't use it in public documents that I send out letters, I do write it in notes. I'll use Xmas. But I just think we get worked up sometimes over things that are just not that important. I think we need to spend more time trying to assist the poor and doing what we're called to do as human beings than we do about debating some of these elements. Although I understand the point of the email, and I'm sorry companies don't want to say Christ or Christmas, But for me, Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. Tell you, I'll be glad when it gets back to getting daylight a little earlier. I've been running for 1 hour, and it's still about as dark as it was as when I left. Again, I'm just reminded with this weather and the darkness and all that having trained for a marathon in the dead of winter, I don't know, we'll see how that goes. Although I must admit, I love this. I enjoy it. I really do. Just the idea of looking out your window and it being dark and snow cover and maybe frost other days. And you think, wow, I don't want to get out in this. And then having to deal with traffic and black ice, which there's an abundance of it in various places. We're back to where I said there's always water earlier. Literally have to stop and walk across that because it is just as slick as glass. Anyway, just a couple of notes and to wind this up, I wanted to tell you, I haven't figured out why and if it's my issue, but if you're looking at the blog through Internet Explorer or certain versions of it, I'm not sure which one I'm even using because I've got Vista at home and XP at the office, but the blog does not show correctly in either one of those. It has the heading for the last episode, but then it has the body of episode 28. 29 and 30 are totally missing, so I don't know why that is. And over at the Podbean homepage, similar issue. So I checked with Google and couldn't figure out why. Looked at it through Firefox, which I use 90% of the time anyway, except for at home, and it shows up fine. So I did download Firefox even at home, and that's the internet browser that I use almost exclusively anyway at work, and now at home it loads quicker and I get no feedback or kickback rather from them, but Firefox, it does perfectly. So if you're looking at the blog and you're thinking, man, Roland's really got that messed up, try Firefox. Just look up Firefox on the internet. Download that browser. It takes a couple minutes, and I've used it now at work for well over a year, and personally I prefer it over Internet Explorer. So remember, the blog, if it doesn't look correct, it could be related to your browser, and I apologize for that. It should work, but for whatever reason it's not. And the fact that it shows up correctly in Firefox tells me that I do have all the code right. At least if I don't, I don't know why it would be showing correctly. Also want to say, you've heard me mention Myra. Used to be my office assistant secretary for a long time. Myra and I were been good friends for several years, and she and her husband Ernie gave us football tickets to the Carolina game several weeks back. Well, anyway, Myra lost her mother several weeks ago, and ran into her at our church's thrift shop, had a Christmas dinner, and ran into Myra there. First time I'd seen her since her mom's death, although we had talked on the phone a couple times. Myra, our thoughts are with you this morning, and our prayers continue to be with you, especially this time of year. It's hard to lose a loved one this time of year. 5 years ago at this point, my dad was in the process of dying, which we all are. It's just some of us it's happening more quickly than others, but we're all in the process of dying physically. But my dad was dying from lung cancer, and he would die January 3rd, 2005. So I certainly know what it's like to go through a holiday dealing with that. Incidentally, I will be planning to do episode 34 in memory of my father. And I want to put a little more into it, although I've put as much as I can into each episode. That one, I think, will be very special. So I'll go ahead and tell you episode 34. If you're not into memoirs or hearing stories about people dying, And also there'll be a lot of positive things I'll share too. If that's not your cup of tea, you may want to tune that week out, but I think if you'll hang with me, you'll enjoy it. Get to know me even a little more. And I'll share part of my life that I haven't shared a lot of detail about. I won't share it so much, but anyway, be listening for that. I am planning to record, possibly, when I run the marathon, it being the first one, and it being in memory of my dad raising money for the American Lung Association. Again, if you have any experience in raising money for an organization by racing, let me know your perspective and let me know how you got that together. I'm checking on that now, but I want your feedback on that. But it being my first marathon, being right in memory of my father, I may record some. I won't record the whole time, but we may take the recorder, catch some of the highlights or, God forbid, lowlights of that race. But we'll let you know about that. We're nearing the end of this run. I actually feel good. It's amazing how sort of dreading to get out the door. Once you get moving and get going, how much better you feel. I finished strong. Last 10 minutes, not tempo, but wow, I feel good. We're going to try to go 1 hour 15 minutes. Got about a minute left. My nephew Jason was not able to run his 5K. He had to work. He was bummed out about that. So the race this past Saturday, the 19th, Jason couldn't do it because of that. And there will be no race report. But Jason, I know you're listening. Keep your base. Look for another race as quick as you can. And keep running some feed work once a week, as I mentioned. Not overdoing it. Just a little bit once a week. Build up 5 miles if you're planning to run a 5K, I'd say. And don't give up. But keep going. I want to encourage you to check out the blog. I have a counter there for the North Carolina Marathon. We're down like 88 days and something. But every time you click on it, if you use a browser that you can actually see it all, you can read about, see what the time is left for the marathon. Also have survey on the left-hand side and a reminder about a need to hear from you if you've raised money for a race. So check out the blog. Look at the pictures. Snoop around. Take the running survey and send me an email. And by all means, forward it to your friends. And subscribe if you would. I would really, really appreciate it. Hey, Bailey. We're going to stop. Give you an update in just a minute. Bailey is our neighbor dog. Hey, girl. She's beagling something else, and you can hear the way she does. She doesn't really bark. She bays. Anyway, let me give you an update on what we did today. And, yeah, Bailey. I'm going to go in and I definitely, we averaged 9:06 a mile, which is good, and we traveled 8.28 miles, which is good as well. I'm going to get in and get my jersey wool, 1 more mile running cover, pants on, put on a heavy jacket, grab me a bottle of Propel, pick up Buddy, and I'm going to walk him. But it's cold out here, but I was dressed perfectly. Listen, if I didn't say it, Merry Christmas. Hope your Christmas was great if you've already had it. If you're picking this up around Christmas, I hope you have a great Christmas. Remember, God loves you, and because of that, our response should be to love Him and love one another. So hug your mama, kiss your children, tell your friends you appreciate them and you love them, and just hope your Christmas is great. We'll look to talk to you again in a few days. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. Thank you for running with me today.
Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. There's a lot of information there, other items that I think will enhance your listening to this podcast. Also, while you're there, sign up for the podcast with iTunes or send me an email. I encourage you to send me your questions, comments about things we've discussed in this episode, as well as information about your most recent race. If you want to include a photograph and some type of audio file, we'll be glad to share that as well in an upcoming episode. All of the music that we use in this podcast is used under a Creative Commons license and comes from sources such as MusicAlley.com, Jamendo.com, and other places. You can find information about this episode in the show notes at the blog. Again, I appreciate you being with me today. It's been good to have you along for this run. I'll look to talk to you again in 7 or 8 days. Hope to hear from you before then. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.